I took a whole load of cold medicine this morning. And I'm claiming that that will work. Okay, so, again, I'm now working on making a procedure, and a procedure is a standalone module that I can call. So I'm saying here, edit, add donation. That's what I'm going to call it, is add donation. Okay? And then I said, create or replace procedure, add donation. And interestingly enough, I put capitals in there when I did it, and it's fine with that. It understands that it's add donation. And I kept that. I don't quite know why I did that, but I kept it just to point that out. So it is receiving. The add donation is going to receive four different things that are being sent over. Okay? And it is going to then do an insert and write a record. Okay, so it's receiving four things, and it will do it and write it, and we'll see how it is called in a minute. So after I go in there and I write the procedure, then the next thing I do is I do an at sign and its name, and that means that the procedure is now created and it can be run. Okay, so I write the procedure, I save the procedure, and then I execute the procedure so that it is now been created. Okay, so there's the procedure created. And that's what you want to see. And if it was not able to successfully do it, it will get an error diagnostic. Now, interestingly enough, I was doing one. And actually, we'll go and look at that one in a minute. Over the weekend. And I was actually looking, had been reading and looking at some routines. And I had written in there as the things I was receiving, I wrote number. And then I wrote VerCare 2 on another field, and I put a size in the VerCare 2. I didn't put a size in the number because I remembered that I wasn't supposed to, but I didn't think twice, and I put the size in the VerCare 2, and it wouldn't run. It gave me a compilation error. When I took the size out of the VerCare 2, then it said that was fine. So it apparently, and that's what I was actually playing with, is that it lets you put in the type when the type is, take the type from someplace else. But if you want to write number or VerCare 2, you want to not put in the size. And I will go back to that in a second. So here is the program, and I called it call add donation. Okay, so there is the procedure called add donation. And then I have the main program, which is like my regular ones, that I said edit call add donation. Okay, so I'm taking in some data, and then I did a check, and I said, okay, if the contribution amount that was set up as a variable is greater than 20, then I want to do the add donation routine, do the add donation procedure. So that's how I call the procedure. I'm calling the add donation procedure, and I am sending it VID number, VDrive number, all of those variables that I brought in. So my main program is doing basically little or nothing. But I called, I just took in user input for ID, driver number, date, and amount. And then I said, okay, if the amount is greater than 20, then I want to add the donation. Okay, so when they put it in at 75, I went and added the donation, and there's the donation, the last one on the list. Okay, so to do that, I went there is no insert in the program. The insert happened when I went out and called the subroutine, and the subroutine accepted the data that I sent to it and did the insert. Okay? And again, the reason for doing a procedure is that you have something that you want to be able to use in multiple programs, is lots of times the reason. Also, it can be the reason that you just don't want one program to be really long. You know, sometimes you just have so much code in there, you say, no, I'd like to break it up. Procedures can also be internal, and we're going to see how our internal procedure works as we look at these. But a procedure can also be internal. So I can just have a procedure and put it within my code. Okay. So now they make the comment down here. The next thing is that you can have in, out, and in, out. Okay. So I can have data that is in, that is out, and that is in, out. So, in this example, and these are actually not terribly terrific examples, but anyway, we will go with them. I have created a table called in-out table. And the in-out table has on it column in, column out, and column in-out. Okay? So, I came down here, and I have a procedure called procedure calculate. And then I have another procedure called calculate process calculate. Okay. Very clever names that I used. So my create procedure is I have got pin, pout, and pin out or whatever. Anyway, I've got these three different things. And I am describing the first one is an in, the next one is an out, and the next is in out. So, down below, I went in and I declared vin vout and vin in out. And I said, okay, all I want to do is go and process the calculate procedure and send it three numbers. Okay? And then if you look at the code below, and then we can talk about the in, out, because you can see what it's doing there. Okay, so I entered in the 15 when they asked for the first number. I entered 15. I entered 72, and I entered 99. Okay, so I entered 15, 72, and 99. So those three numbers got sent over. Vin got sent to pin, vout got sent to pout, and so forth, okay? So they got sent over. And an insert got done. So now if you look at the insert, okay, it inserted 15, 30, and 45. Okay, so how did that happen? Well, the 15 went over just fine. The out one did not go over as 72. Because basically an out is something I had to create in the procedure. I can't send the out over there. So the input in is read, okay, out is write, and in out is both. So when I sent them over, I had 15, and I then did a calculation and said, okay, P in plus pin is equal to pout, and I've got that pout is therefore 30. And then I said, okay, add it three times, and that gets me 45. And so when I inserted, I got the 15, the 30, and the 45. Okay? And if I had tried to write out the pout without having done something to it, I would have got nothing because it's only there to put something out.
If you had written out the in-out, pin-out.
Yes, that would have come through. Yes. Yes. So if you want to okay, and then I did another one where I put in some numbers and got the same basic kind of things. So on this one, I said the out is the pin plus the pin. Okay, so on this one, I ended 23, 33, and 43. And so the out is 23 times 2, so that's 46. And then pin out is the 43 that I sent over plus the 23, so it's 66. So yes, I could use the pin out. Okay, so on that one, I sent over 23, 33, 43. The 33 it ignored. Okay, because I can't send over anything on the out. It took the 23 and added it together to the 23 again and got the out. So that's 46. And then I took the in-out, which I sent over as 43, and I added 23 to it, and I got 66. So in-out was able to take it and do something to it. In is only a read. Okay? So I have that and I just read it. The assumption is an in unless you tell it otherwise. And then I did one more where I played around with it and I don't remember what I did on that one. Okay, on that one, I got an error because of the out. Okay. And then I changed it back, and it worked fine. But when I tried to use the out, I hadn't created it yet. Okay. So that's a procedure. And as I said, we will look in a minute at, if you want to bring up SQL, you can try running this if you have the employee table. Do you have the employee table? Okay. Then the one that is back here on my form, the employee code and the employee process, you can bring those up if you want to and try running those. What I did on those, if you open them, how do I increase? Not easily. Okay, so if you open this and take a look at it, I said set server output on, declare employee name is a varchar 2 for 10 characters. Cursor info is select employee number from employee in out. So I made a copy of the table. Okay, I made a copy of my employee table and called it employee in out. And then I said, okay, begin. For employee record in info, and I don't know why I put the loop down there. Usually I put the loop on the same line. The four has a loop after it, so it's not. I looked at it afterward, and I said, that looks like I've got two different loops going on, but it really isn't. That loop is attached to the four. So I am setting up a cursor here. and this is a way of processing multiple records. So I'm setting up a cursor, and I am putting in the cursor all the employee numbers. Okay, and I call the cursor info. And the for statement is saying for employee rec, which means one of the first record, and then the second record, and then the third record in info. Okay, so for each employee record in info. And like the for statement lets me do this, it lets me define the name of a record in this particular style. If I say for employee record in info, then it is using, and I think we looked at this in some declaration one when we were talking about data management. But it lets me say for employee record in info. So that means each record individually as I process will be called employee record. Now remember, when you use the for statement, you don't have to use the open, you don't have to use the fetch, and you don't have to use the close. The for statement does all of those for you. So when it's looping through the cursor, it is going through, opening the cursor, fetching the first one, the next time through it fetches the second, the next time through it fetches the third. And we actually looked at that in one of the handouts. I don't remember which one. And so I have got basically, and the loop, as I said, is the rest of the four. And so I said, call the procedure called EMP PROS 1. And I am sending over to it. Okay. This, it's done on the line again. I don't quite know how it got on the line since I lined it about 1 o'clock yesterday, but anyway, it did. Amanda's not here, so you can sit in the back row.
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. Okay, so I'm saying, on the employee record, get the employee number and send over the employee name, but the employee name is actually going to not have anything in it, okay? So I don't have anything in the employee name. And then I am going to, when the procedure is done, I'm going to print out the employee name. So I'm actually getting the employee name. Okay, so I'm saying send over the employee underscore record employee number. Okay, so it got the record, and now I'm telling it the field on the record I want it to use, which is employee number. Well, employee number is actually the only thing I took off the table. And then I said end loop, and I end, and I set server off. Okay, so now I'm going to open the other one. So that I have them both open at the same time. So here is the procedure, and I said create or replace procedure employee process 1. Employee ID is going to be an in number, so I'm going to receive that. Employee name is going to be an out. Okay. So I'm taking them in. The employee ID I'm going to read. The employee name I'm going to produce because it's an out. Now, this is the one where I got in trouble. I put the parenthesis 10 on this VACARE 2. And when I put the parenthesis 10 on it, actually, I first put on the 15, and then I decided there was 10 on the database. And so, whoops, I decided that it was the 15 that was the problem. I fixed it to a 10 and still got an error, and then remembered that you can't put the size in when you're doing this. So you just say employee ID is a number, you can only put the type. And employee name is a VeerCare too. Okay. And so then in the begin, all I did was select. So I said, select e-name from employee name into employee name. And I basically grabbed the name. Now, this didn't do a lot of constructive stuff. But what it does show is that I went out and did the procedure, which did the select, brought back a name, and so I kind of basically was stepping through the cursor and going out and just doing the select in another program. Okay, it's not that I couldn't do this other ways. But I have the creator replace, employee process one is the name of the procedure, employee ID is an in, employee name is an out, and then I say is, because that's part of the structure. Okay, notice you don't use a declare, you just use the is. And then say begin, go get me the name where the employee ID equals employee number. Now, I could have just said cursor info is select employee number, employee name, but that wouldn't have been any fun. So I ended up doing the select in one program and having the cursor over in the other program. And what I get here is a DBMS list of all of the employee names. So if you want to run this at some point, as I said, what I end up getting is a list of all the employee names. Keep in mind that I call this employees and out as opposed to employees. So if you decide to do it, you need to either change it to employee or create a table called employee and out. Okay, questions? Okay, so what I was trying to show here is none of my examples really, at the beginning, used a cursor or used the select. And so that's what I was doing here. And it's a very simplistic example, but it uses a cursor and then does the select work over in the module. Okay, the next one is a brief look at functions. And the difference between a procedure and a function is that the function is returning something. Okay, so the function is returning something. So I said here, edit function calc 1. Okay. And there's my function. And if you look further down the page, you see my call. So calc func calc is my calling program. And it says set the server output on, declare the VID number and the VNew goal, and I'm taking in input from the user. Okay? So I'm taking in an ID number from the user. And then I said, okay, the new goal is going to be the result of doing the function. Okay, so again, when I do a procedure, I just do a call. When I'm doing a function, I am going to get something back. It has the return clause up above. So I am saying here, vNewGoal, assign to it whatever gets returned when I do the function. And when I do the function, I'm sending up the ID number. So I send the ID number up, and then I have, that's VID number that I'm sending up. The return number is vReturnDonation. And I also put contribution amount in there because I was using it. Okay. So I now said select contribution amount into VCon amount from due donation where the ID is equal to the ID I passed. Okay, so I passed the ID. I'm now selecting the record that has the matching ID. And then I say, all right, if VCon amount is greater than 10, then do one calculation and return one thing, else do a different calculation and return it. And I show a little bit further down that obviously the return could have been outside the NDIF, and then I'd only have to have the return once, because I'm calculating V return donation, and then I can have the return itself outside the IF. So on this one, I am executing the program. It is bringing in an ID. I'm passing over the ID. I am getting a contribution amount, and I am then doing a calculation based on what the contribution amount is and returning. And when I return, I am writing it out. So what is returned as V return donation becomes V new goal.
Does that return actually jump the processing back to the calling procedure, or
yes.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
So, if there was anything after that return, and that is if
no, it doesn't.
Anything else, it wouldn't. It wouldn't.
Right. Right.
Can you only return one thing?
Yes. So if you want multiple things, you're going to use a procedure. A function goes out, gets one thing, and returns it. If you are dealing with multiple things, you can do that with a procedure. A procedure is a lot more versatile. A function is go out and return one thing. Call, and this is what I want when I get back. Okay, if you remember, we would when JavaScript, I was just doing that yesterday, so I remember. You can call a module either way by just going up and saying, do this module, or you can do it and say, on click, do this and return it to someplace else, which is really considered a function. Okay. So that is a function coming back. And then I went down, as I said, and I put the return in just once to show that I could do it with just one return after the if. So if you want to do a whole bunch more, just wait till the end and do the return as your last thing. Because I can stick stuff in after the end if before I do the return. But when I do the return, I'm saying, okay, send it back now.
And that exits right out of the function at that point in time, right?
Right.
And I have the wrong idea about procedures then? Because you said if you want to do more than one, you do a procedure. But I thought procedures didn't pass variables.
I can have those in-outs, for example.
Oh, okay.
That I pass out and come back.
Okay. Forgot about that.
details.
A short-term memory.
Okay, internal procedures is simply saying, okay, now I'm putting the procedure inside. And I'm going to tell you the truth. When I code a procedure, I start out this way because it's a pain in the neck to have the two. So I start out coding it as an internal procedure. When I've got it so that it's working, then I pull it out and make it an external one. Huh?
More work. Why would you do that?
Because I think it's less work than keeping track of two things.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, why do you split it up after?
Oh, because, yeah, because other programs may want it if it's a generalized thing. For example, I think one of your assignments, I'm going to tell you, you have to do a check digit. And so a check digit means that you verify an ID number by doing a calculation on the digits within the ID number. Okay, so that routine could be used by a gazillion different programs that want to validate that the ID is a correct ID. Okay, so if I make it an external procedure, then I only have to write that code once, and I can use it in a whole lot of programs. So that's the reason for making it an external. But if I'm only going to use it once, making it internal is a wonderful thing. But as I said, I tend to do it this way because it's easier to test. I've got one unit that I can do my testing on. So all I did was I took the procedure that I had before and I basically internalized it. Okay, so you can see that it worked exactly the same, but I wrote inside procedure and I've got the procedure. And again, this is true in a lot of languages where you can put a module inside the program that you go and execute. Okay, and so this is the internal module that I put in, and I can go and execute it. And when it's internal, it goes ahead and the procedure gets compiled as well as the program, and so it all gets done in one step. That's the big thing also that I have to remember. If I've got an external procedure and I change it, I got to remember to do the at sign and run it to create the new version, or it will still have as the executable the old version.
Even if it's an internal procedure?
No, if it's external. If it's internal, then it will go ahead. So that's the other reason that I tend to keep it internal when I'm doing that, is it just saves all those steps. And then if I want it to be external, I then remove it and set it up as an external procedure. And then I do test that to make sure that it worked. But that saves me, I think, a considerable amount of annoyance, if nothing else. Because every time I change the procedure, I have to remember to do the create the executable. And how often do I forget that? Frequently. Okay?
The same thing with procedures and functions. When you have it external, you have to execute it first.
Yes. And in the next one, I just did a change to it, that's all. And did a calculation. But again, I'm saying if it's greater than 20, I want to do it. I'm trying to look to see if I actually have anything in here that's particularly different. In this one, I did a calculation and then I sent over the result of the calculation. So I didn't just send over the things that came in, I did the calculation and sent that over. And I only did the insert in the procedure. But it's essentially the same thing. I don't see. Okay. And then the last one, the next one, has got both an internal procedure and an internal function. So there is my internal procedure and my internal function. Okay. So I go down and I've got, okay, I started out, and these are the declares for my program up at the top. Then I've got my function, and then I ended my function. Then I've got a procedure, and I ended my procedure. And then I've got the begin. So essentially what I did is I put the procedure and the function all up in the declare. Okay? And then I've got my begin. So I started out down here in the begin, and I said if the contribution amount is greater than 5,000, then I want to put EX into the V code. And I want to go and do calculate new donor and send it the V code and the V cont amount. Okay, so that is a function because I am saying do this function and whatever is returned will go into there. So I'm saying whatever is returned will go in there. So I then go up and do the function. And in the function, I am receiving the code and the contribution amount. The return number is the new one. And then I say, okay, if the code is an X, then take the contribution, multiply it by 1.3, and put it into the thing I'm going to return. Else, if it's a VG, do a different calculation, etc. Okay? So I'm going to return F cont amount. So F cont amount comes back down, and I go through all that. And then at the very bottom, I say, okay, now go and do the procedure. And I put the insert over in the procedure. So it goes and does the procedure, passes up the information that it needs in the procedure, and does the insert. Okay, now this one is just passing up. It's not getting anything back. And so I don't have to specify in, out, etc., because in is assumed. So since these are all being passed up and in is the thing that is presumed, then they all go in. And I undo the insert and write it out. So I've now got, and these could be external again, but in this case I made them internal. So I'm going and doing the procedure, doing the function rather, and then at the end I'm doing the procedure because all it does is the insert.
Can you have multiple functions and multiple procedures?
Yes.
Within the same?
Yes. Yes.
It doesn't matter where you put them?
I put them up in the declare always, and I think that's where they want them. Actually, I haven't tried. They used to definitely want them up there. I can't promise that that's true. But, because I, once you get in the habit of doing something, you stick with that habit. Okay, so that is that one. And then I showed the results. And the last one is more on procedures and functions. And this one gets into a cursor and all of that kind of stuff. So take a look at this one and see if you can figure out what's going on, and then we'll talk about it. But just take a minute and look it through.
Still warm. Yeah.
And look at the output. It shows the output down below. Is it making sense? Yeah. Okay, the file that we're using is this file up here. And it has field one is a set of numbers, field two is a city, field three is some more numbers, and field four is a name. Okay, so that's the file that we're reading in this. And what's it called? TestPRFN. Okay, so then I come down here and I am saying edit process function 2 or whatever. That's the name of the code. Okay, So now I'm saying set server output on because I'm using the DBMS, and whenever I use the DBMS, I need to have the set server output on. And then I'm declaring a bunch of fields that are going to be usable throughout. Okay, so these are variables that are usable in my begin, and also they're viewable elsewhere. Then I set up a cursor, and I said, okay, I'm going to call this cursor field cursor, and I'm selecting asterisks from that file for update. So that allows me to do an update, okay? And to specify the where current when I go and do the update. So now I've got a procedure that I've set up, and we'll look at that when we go to it. And I have a function that I've set up. And so now I go down to the begin. And I do my open. And remember I said that when you use the for, you don't have to do all of this. But if you are using a while loop, then you do. So I went through and I did my initial fetch. So I fetched the first record from the cursor into those variable fields that I set up for field 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then I said, okay, while the cursor is found, meaning while there is still a record, loop. Okay? So in the loop, the very first thing I did is a function. And again, I can tell that it's a function versus a procedure because of the structure. If it is over here and there's an equal sign or assignment sign, then I know it's a function that is expecting a return that's going to go into V field out, or whatever I called it. V field tote. Okay, so whatever is returned is going to go into V field tote. So I go up to calculate number, and I'm sending it the two numeric fields, field 1 and field 3. And it's receiving field 1 and field 3 as numbers. But again, I don't specify length. I just specify type. And then I set up the return number is going to be field tote. Okay, and it's going to have the same type as field 4. Then I say, okay, so field tote is field 3 minus field 1, and I'm returning field tote. Okay, so I return it, and the name I gave when I returned it was F field tote. When it comes back, it's going to be seen in here as V field tote. Then I say, okay, now I'm going to go do a procedure, and I can see that because I just had the procedure name and the things I'm sending in parentheses. So I am sending up to the procedure the field tote that I just got back and field 4. Okay, so then I go up to that and it receives field tote as an input, and it receives field 4, P field 4, as an IO. Okay.
Another question.
Yeah.
So, in your function, when you define, you specify your return number is field tote, and it's the same as field 4 in type.
Yeah, you're right.
But field 4 is a...
Is a character field. That's interesting. It worked. Oh, yeah, it worked. And what am I putting in that? Field 3 minus field 1. Yeah, it would have seemed to me that I probably would have wanted to have field 3 on that.
Yeah.
But I'm looking, and there's nowhere where I'm doing it as a calculation, so it was, that's why I was stopping and looking. There's nowhere where I'm working with that as a calculation, so it being a VerCare field
so
is okay.
It into a VerCare.
Yeah, so doing 30,000, okay. It's just treating it as a character.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're right. I think it would have been better to make it a 3, and that is something that I don't remember ever anybody picking up on before, so there we have it. But again, if you look, I'm not doing a calculation
right.
with it. So it probably
okay.
it works okay. So I'm sending it up, then I'm saying, okay, if field total is greater than 30,000, and the length of field 4 is less than 8, then stick asterisks on either side of the name, basically. Okay? So stick asterisks on either side of the name, and then I'm done. So now I come back and I say update, and IO means that it went back. Okay, so field 4, the changed field 4, it was an input-output, so it's a, the changed version is available. Then I say update and set the field 4 to the new one for the current one that I'm just working with, and then write it out as well. And then go and do another fetch where you will go through and do the whole thing again. Okay, and the DBMS line shows the stuff coming out, and you can see that the asterisks got added on 2 of them. And then I looked at the file to make sure that the update was working, and the update is getting the right things as well. Okay, so again, that's just showing a procedure and a function. Okay. And as I said, we're just introducing those. The average SQL course doesn't even get into PLSQL. It's frequently a second semester course, and we've done a lot with PLSQL. But there's not a lot of time to get heavily into procedures and functions, but it just shows you how they work. Okay. I really did talk fast. That's good. Hoping that you understood it, since I talk fast. Did it make sense? The net result of that is we'll do triggers on Thursday, and we'll be done. Which means that next week, for the next week and a half, it will be open lab. Okay? And I will post your last homework assignment as well this week. Okay? Then your final is what? Is it on a Tuesday? Please make it a Thursday. I think we figured out. You said it was a Thursday, right? Didn't you look it up and say it was a Thursday?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a Thursday.
Okay.
Where do you find that stuff?
Good question. Where do you find that stuff?
The final schedule.
I think it was under the course calendar.
Really? Okay, that tells when finals start, but it really actually... Well, let's go and look. We've got a few minutes. File new window. Okay, so... You'd start out by saying, I would have a thing here saying, this is the final schedule, but not seeing it. Okay, so you academics, academic catalog, I hate this, hate it. Do not move my mouse in a straight line. I move it at an angle, and therefore it doesn't come up. Here's the calendar. Okay, somebody find me the list of finals. Because I ain't seeing them. So we want to do a search. Final exam schedule. Spring 15 final exam schedule. Spring 15.
You'd think it would be up
there. You would. But you found it, so find it again, please, and tell us where it is. Evening, weekend, final exam, but I think that's the period, that's not the details. Final exams.
Can you do nested whiles in PLC?
Nested whiles. Say, for example.
Well, I was trying to do the homework number 3, the inserts with a nested while. And it was the inventory and the transaction table. So I was going to do, okay, and get the data for the inventory table first, and then do that in while on the insert, and then within that while, for each item number, enter the transaction.
Could you do it with a sub? Because it lets you do a sub.
Oh, really?
You know, it lets you have a...
I didn't have any success at all. I had so many errors, it was ridiculous. And it didn't... Can you reuse input variables or not?
What do you mean by reuse?
Okay, so you get...
Wait a minute, I'm actually trying to look up and then we'll get to the next question. But I think I have that list of programs that I had back there. I should have said open with notepad, so it probably won't open. Oh, good. Not what I wanted to do. Open with... Come on, you can do it.
I ended up doing it just with...
Yeah, see, I have a separate select here where I said select and then a embedded select. That's what I meant by the subroutine. That's not what I meant to do. I meant to do a save. So lots of times when you have two whys that you want to do, whiles rather you want to do, you can end up doing it that way.
Okay, what example was that?
The first one.
Oh.
And can I get out of web matrix? Apparently not.
The first example for...
It's under week 11, donor cursor 1. And then donor cursor 2, I don't remember what that was. Yeah, that was basically very similar. And what's donor cursor 3? Okay, so I've got the where, this, or that. That's the one I was actually looking for. So... But you were asking more for the while or the where? I think
you know what? It's all convoluted. I will send it out.
Okay. Okay, so we're going to look at triggers next time. I'm going to put up a homework assignment either tonight or tomorrow. Yes. And it's going to have a problem on triggers, but we will get to triggers on Thursday. So that's the last homework assignment. So if we look at dates now, and we really are in December, we're going to finish classes today. There will be 3 open labs on the 8th, the 10th, and the 15th. And if I suddenly discover I forgot something, I will tell it to you on the 8th. And, but I don't think I have. And send it out anyway. Put it on the website anyway. So that's the labs. Then the final, I think we decided, was the 17th. Okay, which means I will post the final. Wow. I think I'll give you more time on that, so I think I'll probably post it so that we can discuss it on the 8th.
Wow.
Because then if you come to class on the 8th, we can just, you can ask questions about the final. So maybe I'll make the, so I'll have it an open lab, but I mean, feel free to come and ask questions about the final. But the final will be up there. It is then due on the 17th. Okay. Now, the last day I'm taking homework is the 15th. Okay. If I get homework in after the 15th, then I will put in the same amount of diligence in correcting it that you put in getting it to me, i.e. I will correct it when I get around to it, which will be well after Christmas. And I can, if it warrants a change of grade, I can make the change of grade. Okay. Understand that you will have to nag me. If you want a change of grade and want me to correct, you will have to nag me because it's not part of my job description. I've moved on to the next semester, and remembering you all is going to be yeah. So you are in charge of nagging me. I take nagging well. So don't worry about antagonizing me, although if you send me multiples per day, you probably will antagonize me. But... you know, it's your responsibility to nag me. I am responsible for anything that is in on time. You are responsible to nag me about anything that comes in late. Okay, so that is it. So Thursday is our last day of class. And hopefully that will be true of all my classes, and so we can have the whole day open labs.